Well, please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Judges. And to Judges chapter 4. We'll be reading two chapters of this book this morning. So we're reading chapters 4 and 5, but we'll begin by reading from chapter 4. Chapters 4 and 5, they tell the same story. But chapter 4 narrates the story, and chapter 5 is a poetic version of the events that have happened in chapter 4. And so we read together from Judges chapter 4. We've just seen the three men, Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar, and how we are told about them and how they were raised up to save the people of Israel. But let us see now what happens to the people of God. Judges chapter 4, let us hear God's word together. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of the Lord cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labadoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river of Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give them into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and he pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Zananim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say, 'No.'" But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead, with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day God subdued Jabin the king of Canaan before the people of Israel, and the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Amen. May God bless us. This reading from his word. Well, please turn with me once more in God's word to the book of Judges. This time to chapter 5. We'll be reading again this whole chapter together. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's found on page 244. Judges chapter 5. It's given the title, in my Bible, "The Song of Deborah and Barak." And this is recounting again what happened with the battle with the people of Israel, and how God gave the people of Israel the victory. So let us hear God's word together. Judges chapter 5. "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned, and the travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit on rich carpets, and you who walk by the way, to the sound of musicians at the watering places. There they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord, the righteous triumphs of his villagers in Israel. Then down to the gates marched the people of the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, break out in a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then down marched the remnant of the noble. The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim their route they marched down into the valley, following you, Benjamin, with your kinsmen. From Machir they marched down the commanders. From Zebulun those who bear the lieutenant's staff. The princes of Issachar came with Deborah, and Issachar faithful to Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Why did you sit still among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling for the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he stay with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the sea, staying by his landings. Zebulun is a people who risked their lives to the death. Naphtali too on the heights of the field. The kings came, they fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They got no spoils of silver. From heaven the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, march on my soul with might. Then loud beat the horse's hooves with the galloping, galloping of his steeds. Curse Meroz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants thoroughly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Of tent-dwelling women most blessed, he asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg, and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. Between her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest princess has answered. Indeed, she answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil? A womb or two for every man. Spoil of dyed materials for Sisera, spoil of dyed materials embroidered, 2 pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Amen. May God bless this reading of God's Word. Well, please turn with me again in God's Word to those chapters we read together from Judges, chapters 4 and 5. We come this morning to the fourth judge. The fourth judge. And this judge is called Deborah. The previous judges have all been male, but she is female, and she is a woman of extraordinary vision and faith. It's said that there are 3 kinds of people in the world. There are those who make things happen, there are those who watch what happens, and then there's those who scratch their heads and say, "What's happening?" Well, Deborah was one of those characters that made things happen. She was a leader when there was none to lead. An initiator when there was none to initiate. And a motivator when there was none to motivate. As Enoch Powell said of Margaret Thatcher, she was the best man for the job. And we see 4 things. About the time in which Deborah judged Israel this morning. We see, firstly, the conditions that prevailed. The conditions that prevailed. The sin that was prevalent in the days of the previous judges that we looked at in other days is repeated once more. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. The people of Israel again did what was evil. Again. You would have thought that the penny would have dropped. Hadn't they observed that every time they stopped following God, and when they gave themselves to foreign gods and married foreign wives, that the enemy came and jumped all over them? But they didn't make that connection. They didn't realize that when they did evil in the sight of the Lord, then they were punished. And so verse 2 tells us that God sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. And through Jabin and his army and Sisera his general, they captured all the northern tribes of Israel. We see that they were militarily dominated. Speaking to the children earlier, we noted that Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. 900. These represented the latest in military technology. They were the tanks of the ancient world. By contrast, Israel was virtually disarmed. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 5 tell us that there were not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. The people were without weapons. They were controlled by a tyrant who was armed to the teeth. They were militarily dominated. But they were also cruelly oppressed. These 900 chariots of iron that Jabin had, he used them to great effect. For 20 years, he harshly oppressed Israel. And that oppression is highlighted for us at the end of chapter 5. In verse 28, we see Sisera's mother looking out of the window, wondering why her son hasn't returned from battle. But yet we see that her wisest princess is answering her, and she answers herself, we're told, that they have found and divided the spoil. That's what they think is happening. They're taking women, young women, and they're making them their wives. They're taking them for themselves. They're raping them. They're oppressing the people. For 20 years, this happened. This man thought nothing of entering an Israelite village and taking off young girls for his own pleasure. He had no qualms of confiscating property for himself. That's the kind of man he was. They were dominated. They were oppressed. But they were spiritually impoverished. When the people of Israel cried out for help, God raised up Deborah. Verse 4 of chapter 4 tells us that Deborah was a prophetess. She was the wife of Labadoth, who was judging Israel at this time. Now we know that the people of Israel were spiritually low because of the influence of Canaanite religion. But this passage shows us just how low things were. For it was Deborah who was leading and judging Israel. It was a woman who was leading and judging. The Old Testament leadership was patriarchal. God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. Indeed, when a woman took the lead, it was a sign of God's judgment on the nation. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, "My people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them." Here the Lord is describing judgment on Israel, and a mark of it is female leadership. Now yes, the Lord raised up Deborah. There's no doubt of that. But in raising her up, God showed just how far Israel had come. The spiritual impoverishment of these people, particularly of the men. The men didn't stand up. It was an indictment of God on the spirituality and faithfulness of the men in the nation. That is why, because they were so oppressed, because they were so spiritually empty, they had to cry out to God for help. It's our first main point, the conditions that prevailed. But notice, secondly, the deliverer that was raised. Let's look at this woman, Deborah. To begin with, we see that she was a woman of faith. Verse 4 tells us that she was a prophetess. And in the Old Testament, there are only four prophetesses mentioned. So Deborah, like the three others, occupies a unique place in the history of God's dealings with his people. She was a woman of faith, she was a prophetess, but she was also a judge. Verse 5 tells us that she used to sit under a palm that was probably named after her, between these two places, Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came to her for judgment. They came to her for judgment, for her wisdom, for her understanding in matters. We'll see later on that she wasn't a military leader. She looked after judicial matters. She looked after the people. They came to her for help and understanding. She wasn't a military leader because she was the one who sent Barak to gather Israel for battle. But she is a woman through whom God reveals his word, and a woman by whom the whole nation of Israel saw as possessing spiritual wisdom and judgment. She was a woman who had faith to move the nation forward with God. She was a woman who encouraged, look at verse 14, at how she encouraged Barak to trust in God. Up, she says, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. She had faith and confidence in God's power. She had faith and confidence in God's purpose to deliver them and her. And this faith and confidence she had was an inspiration to others. Doesn't the church need people like this today? People who are in touch with God. People who are endowed with wisdom and have the vision for growth and the faith to move forward on the basis of that vision. Often the church today looks for better methods or better techniques or better formats. If we change this program, or if we did this thing or introduce this, we'll definitely guarantee success. But God isn't looking for better methods or better techniques. But God is looking for better men and women. Men and women of faith, wisdom, and vision. People who are in touch with the fundamental requirement of usefulness. Trust and faith in God. The people of Israel had experienced this before. There were 10 spies who focused on the giants in the land. The nation of Israel focused on Sisera's 900 chariots of iron. But like the two faithful spies, Deborah focused on God. And that is where we are to have our focus, on God and on his power and grace. But as well as being a woman of faith, Deborah was also a woman of humility. There is a clamor in the professing church today to open up the leadership of the church to women. We're being told that we must have female elders and female ministers. And they argue that, look at Deborah, look at her. She led the people. But people who say that haven't, I think, truly grasped Deborah's position and motivation. Notice that she isn't the one leading the people into battle, but she calls on Barak to do it. Look at verse 6. She summoned Barak and told him to go and do it. And it's only after persuasion that he goes and does it. Only after she says she will go with him. As we see in chapter 5 and verse 2, it is Deborah who praises God for men who take responsibility and leadership. Notice when leaders lead in Israel, when people willingly offer themselves and bless the Lord, she thanks God that men are taking responsibility. She carefully and scrupulously avoided being identified as the leader, for she knew that leadership was to be male. It's interesting that when we come to the record of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, it's Barak who's mentioned and not Deborah. Yes, we are in a day when there does seem to be more spiritually minded women in the professing church than men. And women can find themselves in a situation where male leaders aren't living up to their responsibilities. But rather than try and usurp their authority and take over responsibility from them, like Deborah, they can motivate their men to take their responsibilities seriously and move forward with God. Many weak men who aren't taking the lead as they should can be strengthened and encouraged by spiritually minded women who, rather than taking over, have urged the men to see their God-given responsibility within the church. So Deborah, she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of humility. But she was also a woman of love. What motivated her to leave her family and go into battle and risk her life? Well, obviously, her devotion to the Lord. That was her primary motivation. But following from that was her love for Israel, for God's people. Look at verse 7 of chapter 5. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. Isn't that a lovely picture? A mother in Israel. This woman had a mother's care, a mother's heart, a mother's love, a mother's protection, not simply for her own family, but for the whole nation. Deborah was like a mother to Israel, caring for them as if they were her own children. She loved them. She taught them. She encouraged them. She sorted out the differences between them. And she enabled them to stand on their own two feet and to go forward in God's power. It is often mothers who are the unsung heroes of the family. They stay in the background. They don't tend to draw or want to draw too much attention to themselves. Yet it's they who often mold the children and make them into what they should be. They do things behind the scenes that aren't recognized or seen. But those are the women who will care for the members of the church family as they for their own family. They'll mother them, look after them, provide for them, encourage the younger women. And so here then was Deborah, a woman of faith, a woman of humility, a woman of love, who loved her people, who cared for them, who sought their best. The conditions that prevailed, the deliverer that was raised. Thirdly, we see the victory that was given. The victory that was given. In spite of the 900 iron chariots, the tanks of the day, Israel was victorious and defeated Sisera in the Kishon Valley. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim, and the army of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. This army was completely and utterly destroyed. And how was this unexpected victory achieved? Well, there was the promise of God. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. We've read it before. Here again, Deborah calls on Barak to obey the command of God, to go and to fight Sisera, because God had promised something. Look at verse 7. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. I will do it, God says. I will be the one who wins the victory. The plans for battle, the promise for success, they weren't from Deborah. They weren't from Barak. But they were God's promises. It was God's promise. It was His word. And so Barak could go forward and should have gone forward confidently on the basis of God's sure pledge to him. In our struggles with sin, in our efforts to advance God's work, friends, we have to remember that we serve a God who'll never break his promises. We've got to learn to rest in those promises. We've to rest in the fact that it is God who is going out before us, just as he was going out before Barak, how he was winning the victory. God has won the ultimate victory for us. He has promised us his power and his strength. And we need to be confident in that. At times we are too timid in our faith. We're too hesitant in our faith. But we've got to go forward. We've got to go up. We've got to go out, confidently resting on the promises of God. The promise of God. But there was also the presence of God. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? This verse has been a comfort to countless many over the years. For many missionaries who have left home and gone to serve the Lord in other places, has not the Lord gone out before you? Here the Lord is the captain, going ahead and leading his people into battle. He goes with them and ahead of them. He's leading them, all the hosts of heaven. And what are 900 chariots against him? Perhaps, again, we're too timorous, or we lack courage because we haven't grasped this fact that God is the one who goes out. I am with you, he says, in the fury of battle, in the fire of the furnace, in the face of the enemy, in the valley of the shadow of death. My presence is with you. His presence is the antidote to fear. Now, Barak didn't see God visibly leading him into battle, but he took the promise and he believed that God would go before him. Do you believe this promise of God? Do you believe, as you live for him, as you serve him, do you believe that he is with you? Every struggle you encounter, every dark valley you go into, God is with you. He is there by your side. as you face that battle in work with the unbelievers, as you face that temptation on a daily basis, God is with you. As you go into school and are taught things against the Word of God, as you struggle to defend your faith in front of your friends and family, God is there. He is in the midst of the battle with you. The promise of God, the presence of God. We also see the power of God. By human estimation, the battle was lost. The situation was hopeless. It's like Dad's army facing the Nazi war machine all on their own. These people of Israel, they were equipped only with pickaxes and ox goads and other agricultural tools, facing 900 chariots. But Sisera didn't have to contend with Israel. They had to contend with Israel's God. And that is why the victory was achieved. Because of God. Because the Lord had given Sisera into their hand. Because the Lord had routed Sisera and all his chariots. Because God had marched from the region of Edom. It was the Lord. Not Barak, not Jael, not Deborah, but the Lord. And we see in chapter 5 how the victory was secured. At the end of verse 4, we read of the earth trembling and the heavens dropping. Yes, the clouds dropped with water. There was a torrent of rain sent onto the earth. And verse 21 tells us that this torrent came into the dry riverbed of the Kishon, and it swept the people of Sisera, of Jabin, away. It swept them away. They tried to get their chariots out of the muddy valley, but they couldn't. They were stranded, and they were surrounded then by the people of God. Sisera's strength, his heavy weight, armored chariots, they became his ultimate weakness. They became his downfall. They couldn't be maneuvered. And so the people, or the men of Sisera and Jabin, they had to try and retreat, but they couldn't. They became sitting ducks. And so Israel, being on foot, which was perceived as a weakness, meant they now had the upper hand. The battle became equal. Two armies on foot. But yet it wasn't equal, because God was on his people's side. He secured the victory that was impossible. And God can do that, because he is the all-powerful God. Too many Christians have in their mind too big and too strong a devil, and too small and too weak a God. Friends, that is wrong. That is a terrible way to think, because our God is almighty. He is all powerful, and there is nothing too hard for him. Maybe you find yourself in a hopeless situation. But in a moment, friends, it can be turned around. And your very weakness can be the route to victory through the power of God. Our society, we look out at it. We see a decline in morals, an increase in secularism, rejecting God, mishmash of religions where people are forgetting and don't even know the truths of the Bible. But in a moment, God can send such a breath of his Spirit to create a widespread hunger for him. You may say, that's impossible. But God has done it before. God has sent his revival. You might despair over the hardness of your children's hearts, over some neighbor or friend who's hardened to the gospel. But in a moment, God can speak to them and break in and give them new hearts that love him. We despair over the state of the professing church, where novelty has seemed to replace principle, where king pragmatism rules, where entertainment replaces biblical preaching. Well, in a moment, God can create a new desire for himself, where the concern becomes, are we worshiping God in the way that God commands? Because God can do this. And the deliverance comes when we cry to him for help. We need to cry earnestly to our God. And so the victory is given through the promise, the presence, and the power of God. But notice lastly the honor that was lost. The honor that was lost. The fact that Deborah was raised up at all, as I said earlier, is an indictment of the men of her day. We see this throughout these two chapters. What's her husband doing? What is Lapidoth doing? He's not mentioned elsewhere, but why is it his wife that is raised up? Why is he not judging? In chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, we find that many tribes refuse to come and fight. Reuben, Gilead, Dan, Asher. They couldn't get up onto their feet and come and fight in the battle. They chickened out. Then there's this man, Barak. He must have had some form of military pedigree. He stands head and shoulders above his contemporaries. That's only because they are found on their knees. Yes, he becomes a hero, but he's a reluctant hero. Look at verse 8 of chapter 4. Deborah has called him to lead the army. But you can just picture him standing beside her, sort of hunched over, quiet. Well, if you will go with me, Deborah, if you go with me, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it if you don't come. I'm not going to do it. It's like children saying to one another when they're trying to push the limits of what they can do, I'll do it if you do it. But notice how Deborah responds in verse 9, I will go with you. But this will not lead to your glory. The Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And who is that woman? Well, it is Jael. We see her standing up to Sisera, this man who was in league with Jabin, who was cruelly oppressing the people of God. And again, it is a woman who stands up and takes the lead. Barak is more intent on destroying the army rather than going after Sisera. Eventually he gets there. But Sisera is already dead. It's a seal, it's God's seal, as it were, on the weakness of the men of Israel that a woman kills Sisera. Try and imagine Barak coming back from the famous victory. The questions are asked, well, did you get Sisera? Well, no, not exactly. It was while he was asleep. A woman killed him in her tent. Did you get him? No, I didn't. Jael did it. Friends, it shows us that God's purposes will be accomplished in the world, whether with or without you. Don't miss out on the honor of and reward of being a faithful and bold servant for God by hesitation or disobedience. The men of Israel, they failed to do what they should have done. And so they missed out on the honor of being the instrument of God's punishment, of slaying God's enemies. The tribes of Reuben and Gilead, they went down in history as being absent at one of Israel's most famous victories. Barak, by his reluctance, missed the opportunity to stand tall among the people of God. And so, men, the challenge comes to us this morning. Are you a true man of God? Have you taken the lead in your home? Have you taken hold of the responsibilities that are laid before you? Let David's words to Solomon in 1 Kings 2 take root in your lives. David, when he's speaking to Solomon, while David's on his deathbed, he says this to him, "Be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commands, his rules, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." Men, are you being the men that God has called you to? But for all of us, let us look and take the words that Deborah finishes her song with in verse 31. "Let us be like the sun that rises in his might. Let us be," as we heard from Philippians a number of weeks ago, "let us be the lights shining in the darkness, in the midst of the crooked and twisted generation." We are living at a time when the church is under attack, when the church is being forced to do things that are conform in certain ways. But friends, let us be like Deborah. Let us stand up. Let us take encouragement from God. And let us be like the sun as he rises in his might. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God in heaven, we do thank you that you are the one who strengthens us, who gives us the power to live for you. Father God, we thank you that because of this strength, we can have confidence and we can go out boldly into this world. Father, we thank you that you are the one who has laid a path for us, that you are the one who guides us and leads us. Father, we thank you that we can look to you and we can have strength for each and every day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have now to have fellowship together. We thank you for the good things that have been provided. And we pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.